Okay, let's begin. Okay, let's first talk about. Okay, on my side, let's begin. Let's begin the share. When, where, what is the ideal location? The ideal location to light the Chanukah menorah. Everyone knows the Gemara. The Gemara says Tanu Rabbanan. Gemara says the Shabbos of Tav Aleph Amud Aleph. Tanu Rabbanan. Ner Chanukah mitzvah lehanicha is a mitzvah to position it al Pesach beisoy mibachutz. Feirush Gemara. Can't argue with Feirush Gemara. Gurdan Shachmarach. The ideal location is to put the Chanukah menorah by the Pesach, the opening of your home, mibachutz, outside, not inside. Outside.
In the old city, in Yerushalayim, there's still those little caves.
They put on the outside. In Yerushalayim, it's very common. In Eretz Yisrael, it's very common to fulfill what it says in the Gemara, to put the menorah of Pesach beisai mi bachutz. And then the Gemara says something very interesting. Uveshas hasakono, in times of danger, manicha, position it al shulchanoi, on your table, your dining room table. Doesn't say anything about a window. On your dining room table, v'dayoi, enough. Very nice, interesting word. Dayoi, dayenu, dayoi. Chanukah and Pesach have in common the word dayoi, day. You sing the song dayenu in the Haggadah, and you have the word v'dayoi. It's enough. It's enough. It's very interesting how the two words of Pesach, really the drasha, Rabbi's notebook, make a drasha between the difference between Pesach and Chanukah, die. In Chanukah, by putting the word die is nu rachmana litzlam. We're in a matzav of sakana. We have to suffice with die. In Pesach, there's so much bracha. Our lips. We thank Hashem for the miracles. The song of Dayenu is actually, your lips will get worn out from saying, enough, 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 you've given me so much Hashem, I'm so overwhelmed, die, 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 die. The song Dayenu is an expression of Yivlu Sifsa Sechem Yilomar Dai. You say over and over again, Dayenu, and especially the melody, die, Dayenu, die, Dayenu, Dai Dayenu, Dayenu, Dayenu. How many times do you say Dayenu in that melody? It's a mamish akil of the bracha, actually yivlu sifsei sechem miloy mar dai. So on Pesach, the word dai, Dayenu, is used in this expression of, we cannot thank you enough. And on Chanukah, b'shas hasakana, you can't put your Chanukah menorah outside your front door. Because if they discover you're observing Torah mitzvahs, they'll come kill you, Rachman al-Zalman. They'll come after you. So, manichu al shulchanoi, v'day, enough. If you want, you can make a drush. And when you're in the matzav of sakana, you have the same chiyuv to thank Hashem, dayenu, as when everything is wonderful and there are miracles and your enemies are being obliterated. It's the zelba dan. Pesach night you say dayenu, and today we live in a world, being in golus in and of itself is b'shas hasakana. The fact that you're not living al admoseinu, the fact, no matter how good we think it is, no matter who the president is, no matter how well connected and we think we are, the mitzius of living in a country that is not ours is a massive of sakon.
What?
Pesach Mitzrayim.
Everybody was locked in into the
house. That was mamash sakon. The mashkes. Hashem said the mashkes is coming to kill. You got to take care of yourself. But okay, so, That's a side dush.
It says it was the rampaging mobs. That's why they shouldn't go out. That's what the mob said.
Okay, that's just a side dush. It's a side dush. that point, but it's leading to what I want to talk about, the Sardish, is that Be'etzem, the Mokum to put the Chanukah menorah is Mipesach Be'etzem, because this is how it was established. When Chazal made the mitzvah, when did they make the mitzvah? They made the mitzvah, the whole history, how the mitzvah of Chanukah evolved is a big mystery. There are all different opinions, when exactly there was an event, right? There was an event, there was a Muhammad, there was the Muhammad the Hashanoim and the Yevonim and the sons of Matasyahu. It's a very complicated history. I know, and if you really want to get a really, really good synopsis, I've tried to read a lot of different things about this. I have not been too successful, but really it's very clear is my Beryl wine. In, you know, there's a three set
yeah.
Coffee table book. In the first volume, he really goes through the history of Chanukah very, very clearly. Everyone is different, but for me, it's very elaborate, a lot of details, a lot of names, a lot of background and perspective. And he goes through the details. And when you read the history, the miracle of Chanukah was one little dot
yeah.
in an era of a lot of war and tragedy and not much light. One little, the miracle of Hanukkah, when it happened, that wasn't the end. Or
that
wasn't
was really the beginning.
Right, mm-hmm. it wasn't, they lived happily ever after. Far from it.
It was war
far,
for 40 years.
Far from it. It was a very difficult to cool thing. It was one swing. You know, let me look at these stock market zigzags. Goes up and down, up and down. So the miracle of Hanukkah was just one time when it went up. Or a cardiogram goes up and down, then a whole long thing up and then up and down. And they, you won, you lose. This one changes loyalty, and this one fights, that one fights. It was wild. It was one tekufa when things got a little good. And yet Chazal, they took that, they saw, the eyes of Chazal were able to see in that what no one else saw. This was a very sacred moment which would carry us for generations. A secular historian and even a Jewish historian would never focus on this moment, on this success, this battle, this moment of success. Again, the history is very complicated, and I'm certainly not a historian and have the vocabulary and the knowledge to describe it, but it's an amazing thing that the average person would totally miss the boat. Okay, so they, at this one, they took back the Beis HaMikdash. And next week, they lost the Beis HaMikdash.
No. The land, the Eretz Yisrael expanded continually after that
okay,
for many
no,
years.
No, not so simple.
No, 40 years they were
fighting. Okay, we gotta go with history. I think it's complicated.
This is historians.
You gotta go through the whole, it's a very complicated history, all different. Whatever it is, I don't know. But Chazal were able to pinpoint this moment in time. Maybe if we have time, we'll try to spend time with history if we can. I don't know if they'll be able to prepare. And it's a moment in time they selected, they saw something very special. And it was a miracle. There were many miracles. A miracle that the Neros lasted for 8 days. And then it became a mitzvah for us to imitate the miracle every single year by lighting the Neros on Chanukah for 8 days. At exactly what point in time did it become a mitzvah? Did we recite a bracha? Did Chazal come to the conclusion and write these words? Tanu Rabbanan. This is the halacha, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. It's not so clear. There's not necessarily that it happened the next year. Not necessarily. Could be it took a generation until they went and they were able in hindsight to appreciate the miracle. I'm not saying this.
Many years after.
The Iker idea only one air.
That's it.
Right, you only need one air. The mitzvah evolved. Doesn't seem that the mitzvah, everything just poof on the spot right away when it happened, we have the whole Shulchan Aruch. It took time to digest what occurred, and to formulate an analysis and how to commemorate the miracle. And the miracle was decided at some point in time, mitzvah, Tanu Rabbanan, Erech Chanukah, mitzvah, la'anicha, al pesach, pesach, mi bachutz. And built in to that is uvishas hasakana manicha al shulchanu v'dayan. It would appear this was that built into the ikar mitzvah. Maybe I'm wrong, but this is what the Gemara says: is we're doing the mitzvah. They established the mitzvah at a time of sakana. It wasn't that, oh, there's a mitzvah from time immemorial to do. Now we're living in America, now we're living in Europe, now we're living in Russia. Then we got a problem. So let's have an addendum. Let's have a footnote. We'll add a footnote. You know, you can't do it the way you're supposed to do it, so you know. It's like this second part of the Gemara came 1,000 years later. Right? Yitzias Mitzrayim, Pesach Seder. How we connect? Pesach Matzumara. 1,000 years later, you know, the circumstances changed. Oh, so the rabbis came along and they said, we're going to upgrade. We're going to make new takanas how to commemorate. You would think, just with the Gemara, turn around on it. Originally, it was Gani. And every single person in the world, they lit the Chanukah menorah from very day one. They lit the Chanukah menorah outside their bodies, in Pesach, Pesach, Mechus, from day one. Go live in a Jewish community. Every single person has a Chanukah menorah outside. And there's no wind, so you don't have to worry about glass cages. Everything is fine and good. And then, all of a sudden, things took a turn. So then they went to the Gemara, and they inserted a carrot. Look on the bottom of the page. And then the printers, they made a new edition. They took out the carrot, they rearranged it with word processing, and they put the whole thing in one word. Isn't that the way I think? That's how I thought of it. I read the Gemara. Yeah, originally, this is the way they do the mitzvah. Generations later, they put a carrot, and now with word processing, when they printed the Vilna Shas, oh, they put it all packaged into one line. One air.
That's it.
So it would appear that this, what I just told you, is incorrect. It appears that when Chazal on day one, created the mitzvah, built into the mitzvah that this is a sakana, a pillow. The mitzvah is a mitzvah of sakana. It's not the shot. This is the mitzvah. A generation later. No. When they made the mitzvah, where do you have such a thing like that? Is there such a thing in Shulchan, such a type of mitzvah? We're giving you a mitzvah. The whole mitzvah is with the assumption that there's sakana. And the Mela, what are the chances that you're going to do the mitzvah correctly? You're going to do the mitzvah in its ideal way? Zero almost, because since the whole mitzvah is giving b'shas, is the do on the shulchan. I always said that there used to be across the street from me, his name was Rabbi Ginsburg, who's a lawyer, and he moved now to Lawrence. I haven't spoken to him in a long time, I'm sure he'll give him a call, I don't know how he's doing, but he was a Talmud Muvok, a chosid Muvok, of the Tenko Rebbe, Zeichat Tzadik Levracha, the old Tenko Rebbe, the old one, who they claim that he had Gil Elio. He was a very, very holy, holy person, and he always told me all of this in the hugging. And in his last years in America, he lit the Chanukah menorah on his dining room table. The windows were closed. He didn't have a glass cage. He didn't have any of this stuff. He was like the old-fashioned Jew. He lit the Chanukah menorah, probably, I forgot, the oil, probably wax candles, on the dining room table. The dining room table, uveshah sasakona manicha al shulchonoi v'dayoi. How do you know this is a Chanukah menorah? Maybe this is just your candelabra. Oh, you light a shanis. By lighting an extra candle, it's an indication that this is a Chanukah menorah because of the sakona. If it wouldn't be a sakona, you're lighting it outside in the street. You don't need to have a shanis. What are you lighting the street for? No one, you don't need a shanis. Obviously, it's a Chanukah menorah. But because you're lighting it at the dining room table, so you shouldn't forget this is not your chandelier, this is a Ner Shel Mitzvah, you're lighting extra candle as a way to remind you that this is not the chandelier, this is a Chanukah menorah. Okay, so that's a very important point to keep in mind, this idea that built into the original mitzvah, this is not An addendum to the mitzvah is uvishas hasakon. Now, I have over here this beautiful thing we use all the time. Oitzim achmadim. This say these here in 6 values. Halavai, he should come out with at least another 6. You know these 6 values? I'm telling you, you know, kol harukul. This stuff is just gold, and he writes it so well. I love this star. And he writes over here in that chapter, basically discussing the reality that kimat nobody, I shouldn't say kimat nobody, became a fad today, certainly in Eretz Yisrael, to light outdoors. But historically speaking, no one ever lit the Chanukah menorah outside. And certainly no one ever had glass cages, had glass boxes to light the menorah. You never heard of such a thing. You don't find any Gemara, any Amora, any other Rishonim that you should light the Chanukah menorah. If you light it outside in the street, it's windy, it's going to go out. So you need, if you're going to light it outside today, you need to have some type of glass enclosure so you can see it. And they had glass time of Chazal, and there's no record that anyone ever lit a Chanukah menorah outside in a glass box. Never, we have no record of this. And it's very not mistaver that this is what the Chazal wanted us to do. You have a Chanukiah, and you have to have, if you're going to light it outside, a standard ner, it's going to blow out in a second. So the only way it's going to be able to survive is you're going to enclose it with some type of enclosure. You're not going to be able to see it then. So what's the whole purpose? The whole purpose is that people should see the Pashuna Nisa. If you're going to enclose it, you're not going to be able to see it. So to have glass? Who ever heard of this? It's unheard of. And it was never done. Okay. So there's a very big question. So for who then did Chazal misakin to light it Nivachutz? No one ever did this. Today in Eretz Yisrael, Baruch Hashem, it's very common. Everyone, it's very common for people to light outdoors. It's very common for people to put into an enclosure. But he cites from the Chidah. The Chidah used to go. He lived in Eretz Yisrael. He visited many communities. The Chidah says that in Eretz Yisrael, he writes that everyone lights indoors. You can't light outdoors because the wind is going to blow it out. Okay, Ruach Mitzuyah, it's a time of winter. It's the time of winter, and this time of the year, the wind's going to blow it out. Furthermore, they are always listed. And the nice, and the Chanukah menorah, it's going to get stolen. Someone's going to steal it from the silver. It's going to get stolen. It was never done, and it was never even an attempt. It was never even an attempt to light the Chanukah menorah outside, historically. And he goes through, he does a lot of research. This research is really, really top of the line. And he cites all of the kadmonim that describe the lighting of the Chanukah menorah. We all describe that we light it indoors. We light indoors by the Pesach, bias, indoors. Outdoors? No. Why? Oh, but it says in the Gemara, you're supposed to light the Pesach based on the Bachutz. We can't. The wind's going to blow it out. The listim are going to take it. Sakana, we don't want to go show the women that we're doing mitzvahs because they get upset. They tolerate us. We don't want to provoke them. Even in Eretz Yisrael, it was traditionally never done. And he asked the question, why not? If Chazal say you're supposed to do it, you're supposed to do it. Tanu Rabbanan. For whom then did they write this? If when they made the mitzvah, going back, let's say the Gemara was written 500 years after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, let's assume in the year 500, okay, the Gemara is writing down what, let's say this is what it was put in writing, 500 years after the Churban Beis Hamikdash, in the year, that's 500, 600, the Churban was in the year 70, so in the year, the secular year, 500, 600, when this can be found in a manuscript, in the manuscript, printed, a handwritten manuscript, the Talmud Bavli. Who did they write this for? Who did they enact this for? It was not done anywhere. It's a big mystery. It's not a partial thing. It's a big mystery. So he quotes here the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, and it doesn't say it the way I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it with a little bit more emphasis. And it really leads into the topic I really want to talk about, which hopefully we'll be able to do, by writing the Beis HaKnesses. And it basically say is, lighting outside is an ideal which is not necessarily practical. in a spiritual sense. Because lighting outside means to be mefarsing the miracle to everyone in the street. Be mefarsing this miracle to your neighbors, to your fellow Achim ben Yisrael. Be mefarsing the miracle to the Goyim. The whole Shaila, is the Pirsum for Jews or is the Pirsum for Goyim as well? Chabad circles is for the Goyim. Okay, we're not going to Chabad now. But who is the Pirsum for? It's for everyone. Let's be very generous now. It's for everyone. Now, everyone can relate to this. Let's say you have a really good vart. Let me give you a mashal. Let's say you have a sefer and you come across a vart on the parasha that to you is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. You never in your life heard such a delicious vart. And you want to share it with someone. And you see him. And your friend is on the way to work. He's on the way to daven. He's on the way to go to a vacation.
He's pressed for time.
Everyone, who's not pressed for time? Everyone. Every living creature. I gotta tell you a vart. I don't got time for this. Okay, tell me the vart. Yeah. Okay, good. Nice vart. Have a good day. Mm-hmm. You've destroyed the person. Because if the person is not willing to listen, what are you telling it to him for? You can, not only is he not going to appreciate it, he's going to damage you. If you tell a person a vart and they, it doesn't have effect on you. I thought this was an amazing vart, but if my friend is a smart guy, he's a genius. If he tells me, he goes, I heard better. I'm not so impressed. I have a kasha. I guess I was wrong. Even though you're not going to admit it publicly, if he's not so impressed, it harms you. If you have good news to share, good news, let's say a person has a grandchild, a great-grandchild, and other people, it doesn't mean anything to them, and you share what's important to you with someone, and they don't rejoice, it's not just that, okay, it's damaging to the one that reveals the information. In order to be mefarsing the Nes of Chanukah, there's a condition, a precondition. This is what he seems to say from the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov. Very profound. Explains a lot. There's a lot to be said about this. The purpose of Pirsumei Nisa is, let the world know what happened. Let the world know that Hashem loves Klal Yisrael. Eidu shehashchina shoyde b'Yisrael, that the Chanukah menorah lived for 8 days. And Hashem saved Klal Yisrael from the Yavanim, from the persecution, from the assimilation, from all the horrible things. Well, before you let the world know, you better make sure there's someone listening. There's someone out there that appreciates what you have to say. If you're going to go and broadcast this information, and someone's going to call the police because you have to go on a loudspeaker in a car and walk around the whole day, and tell everyone, Rabbi Yisrael, I have great news to share with you. This happened and that happened. The people don't care. They're not interested in the great news, what you think is such wonderful, wonderful great news. They don't care. And Adarabba, you're annoying us. Noise pollution. Don't you dare come down my block. People that come down with the ice cream with trucks. Okay? So for the children, ice cream. For the adults, if I hear that jingle of that ice cream truck one more time, I'm gonna blow up. I'm gonna take out a machete. Okay, we're gonna nuke every ice cream truck in the world. Okay, the ice cream truck. I got ice cream. Maybe Joe Biden is excited. But I'm not excited. Okay, before you want to share with someone good news, you better make sure they want to hear it. If they don't want to hear it, if they don't appreciate what you're telling them, something maybe better not tell them. Because not only is it a disgrace that you've been mefarsing the good news, it's actually even worse. Because when you will witness their reaction, that they're not excited and it means nothing to them. And in fact, if they mock it, it can damage you. You know what? If it's not important by them, it's not important to me either. I must be mistaken. Don't be so quick to tell someone good news, to tell something that you find to be a value if you don't have an audience that's receptive to listen. Today, and throughout Jewish history, do we really have people outside of our real world, our real circle, who really appreciate who we are? Hashem, Yados, Chanukah, the Beis HaMikdash. Let's be honest, they're not listening. They're not interested. When the Goy sees a Chanukah, you know what they say? I heard this in their own ears. That's all you can do, a little candle. Look at my Christmas tree. I have 100 lights on my Christmas tree. I once heard it on television. I was watching on television. They were showing this neighborhood where the electricity, they had to go, Con Ed had to go dig up the streets to put in lines in order to support the lights of the Christmas tree, these trees, these Christmas trees. And then they show this unbelievable these displays, and then they show the menorah. And they say, just one little light. Never. All these Jews can come up with one little light relative to our display of our light show. There's no one listening out there today. Who are you coming to show the menorah to? To the Goyim? I'm not chassid shom saying about Chabad. Chabad is different. Chabad is a different mahalach. Chashom. But the Talmid of Baal Shem Tov, they say this. Gather an audience. You're putting in your ner chanuk, your pesach nibachutz on Avenue J. Who's looking at the menorah? So in this neighborhood, they're bnei Torah. They're bnei Torah that walk by. I'm not saying no. But even amongst bnei Torah, very often the person that has so much chavivus for the mitzvah to go to an extreme to buy a case and to put it outdoors, and then there are other bnei Torah that see it, they usually not on the same level of spirituality that have the same appreciation and excitement of seeing someone's chanukah outside. They say, why are you putting it outside? There are so many goyim here, they get anti-Semitism. Why do you have to display your religion on your sleeve? Even the Haredim will give you the business. What are you putting it outside? It's dangerous. Come on already. Even the front people don't necessarily share your excitement. Therefore, it's not necessarily the whole reason why you put the pesach in the kol. It's in the fast and the days. That is all built upon an assumption that there's someone out there that appreciates the nace, that is excited and is intrigued and is awakened by the nace. But if the ruba, you have to make an assessment, then you can't generalize, there are people out there. But you have to make an assessment, how is it really worth it? Is the one person that's going to get all worked up, someone's going to be pissed by in a car. Wow. Wow. That reminds me of when I was a child in Ukraine and this and that, and they're awakened. Is it really worth it? Connecting all of the harassment that you're going to get the other way around? So he basically suggests, he basically suggests over here is that that's the reason why throughout the generations, the Chanukah menorah practically was never put outside in the street. And today, Baruch Hashem, it's a different world, Baruch Hashem, Chasdei Hashem, Halavai Vayter, we're coming to the time where the Gemara was written for the 21st century, where people in Eretz Yisrael certainly appreciate it, and Klal Yisrael is on the rise, and Ruchnius and Gashnius, Halavai, is on the rise, and the Gemara was written maybe for our generation. Of our generation, but historically, it wasn't a thing. And the proof is built into is another escape clause. The other escape clause is sakana. There's another escape clause built into
the
machal.
What's the motivation here? Is the motivation dedication Or is it more asserting of your identity?
That's an age-old question. Look, that's the question of going to the Har Habayis in Eretz Yisrael.
Okay.
You have to assert your rights, or maybe you shouldn't assert your rights. Same thing. You can't judge. To each his own. Different strokes for different folks. Respect. Diversity. You can't. You're right. I'm just presenting one dimension. One approach. Obviously, other people say, Adarabba. Assert your rights. Assert yourself. Look what these Mishagayim are doing, these wokeism is going to this country. They're asserting their rights. These people who are mamish yichidim shem yichidim, and they're destroying the world. So why can't we assert our rights? 100%. Maybe the time has come that we should have a second look. Adarabba, assert your rights. This country is a country where you have rights. It's built upon the premise of having rights. That's how it was built. That's how it was established from day one. This is not Europe. Europe was not established in that fashion. We escaped from there. This country, that's the constitution. Assert yourself. They could assert themselves. Why can't I assert myself? But mitzad sheni, my mori chazal, halacha biyudu eisik sur Yaakov. You know, a lot of this stuff is a balance. It's a very difficult balance, a tight wire. You gotta have chokhmah, how to take it all in. Now, as an expansion of this principle, I kind of want to say something? Okay. As an expansion of this principle.
What happened recently? They were shutting the water off, my wife wrote a letter, they were shutting the water off in the daytime on Avenue M. And so all the stores, like our pizza place, whatever, 19th and Ocean, wouldn't be allowed to work. My wife called up a local representative, she made calls, and they turn the water off at night instead of during the day. So you can
assert yourself. You have rights. 100%. 100%. Now, going further, this idea.
I want to say something. Consume usually is advertising.
Okay.
Now, it's not the advertising that you see on the TV or something like that, because you can advertise if you want. Buy a spot on the TV and advertise that there is. The idea is here to advertise my emunah b'kadosh baruch hu. That's why it can be in the window, it can be on the table, it doesn't matter. I advertise that I believe but the mess of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what he did to us, it's for me to advertise, not that they should believe in it. It's not for them, it's for me. I'm looking at it, wow, beautiful. I advertise it to myself.
Okay, you have to do an action to show, to express your emunah. Okay, excellent. Get out. Now, there's a minute. There's a minute that we like to debate the Neiros in the Beis HaKnesses. Where does that come from? It's not a Gemara. Let's say the Gemara, nowhere. Nowhere does it say and the earliest, okay, I already forgot what I'm quoting. Where does it say the first time in the Shalit, the Neiros in the Beis HaKnesses? Where does it come from? Give me 1 second over here. The earliest source, I'm really going into the location of the Beis HaKnesses. Okay, I apologize, I lost the source. It is in Shulchan Aruch. It does say in Shulchan Aruch that you lie in the Beis HaKnesses, but it doesn't really tell you why. It doesn't tell you in Shulchan Aruch, we lie in the Beis HaKnesses with a bracha. Why? That's not in the Gemara. The Gemara says very clear, mitzas lechad ner ish ubeisai. This is a mitzah for the home, for the bayis, for the bnei bayis. It doesn't say anywhere in the earliest source of the establishment of the mitzah that the mitzvah should be done in the shul. The shul is not a bias. It's ner ish ubeisa. The shul is a kihila. Where does it come from? So all the farshim say the same thing. They're mystified. There's no makar. This is the quintessential minhag. When you talk about minhagi Yisrael, there are thousands, there's quite a number of minhagi Yisrael. one of the quintessential minhagim that is a dogma to use as a makar to analyze all other minhagim is lighting Ner Chanukah in a Beis HaKnesses. It's not Nikar Hadin. We do it. Every Beis HaKnesses at night, you light Ner Chanukah. When do you light? Okay, we're not going through that mode, that this moment in time. Do you light Ner Chanukah? Minah. Do you make a bracha? Since when do you make a bracha? And Shavuos, you eat cheesecake. You make a bracha on cheesecake?
Yeah.
Come on! You make a sherki, the shana, to eat specifically a chalavi? No, you make it. When, since when? Not so simple. Lois suru mikol asher yom l'chayimim small is the other, there are better psukim than that. There are many psukim that to guard a custom. At times, we make a bracha on a minhag Yisrael. The minhag of lighting the Chanukah Nes, the Beis HaKnesses, is such an ironclad minhag, it even became the custom after the kach, we make a bracha. The only other reason we make a bracha that's a minhag is Ashkenazim only. They make a bracha on Halal, Rosh Chodesh. Halal, Rosh Chodesh is no halacha. It's not a yomtif. It's a minhag. And we Ashkenazim make a bracha when we recite Chatzi Halal. Svarim hold the bracha of Atalah. It's a minna. Who said you're going to make a bracha on a minna? Yeah. So you suggest that there are people who live in the Beis HaKnesses and it became their bias. That could talk to be, there is an approach to say that just like we make Kiddush Shvarim Ayin Shul because there are people who always live in the small rooms along the shul, they lived in the shul basically,
yes.
So the Kiddush was for the guests, and people who don't have money, they can't afford wine, so the neighbors of Chanukah and the Beis HaKnesses is equivalent to making Kiddush in the shul. What's very interesting though is that today, it's a dying breed of shuls that make Kiddush and shul. It's almost becoming non-existent, unless you have a real old-fashioned shul. Today, all the new shuls that are established, I challenge you to count the number of shuls in Lakewood. There must be hundreds of shuls in Lakewood. I challenge you to tell me if it's even more than 10. You can find more than 10 from literally hundreds of shuls in Lakewood, the whole Svinov, Brick, Tom's River, Jackson,
five towns.
I challenge you from all of these kehilas, which literally, I'm not joking, hundreds of shuls. Every Dalai Lama is another shul, another trailer, another this, another that. Try to get to the number 10.
Why are they approved?
What?
Why are you being approved? Those
are
the communities, real communities.
Oh, real communities. You don't know what he's saying. Okay. In any event, it's a dying breed. Yet, every single one of these trailers, shuls, basement, minyanim, you name it, all light Chanukah candles in the Beis HaKnesses. So Rav Lazy, you're saying good. Rav Lazy Bakshi, you're saying good. This is Takachu. He does say such a thing. The light of the Chanukah candles is a carryover of a different type of society. Where people were poor, that's Larpa Rahman al-Islam, and they lived in shul. They had public services, and the shul provided. So they need a Chanukah. So one person shul writes for the homeless people. Einochanani. But yet today, Pukhazi Ma'amad Devar, today the Kiddush that is an extension of that has gone to the wayside, and yet the Chanukah menorah is going strong. Is not one shul that will not let a Chanukah candle.
Because right off the wrong tangent here, the reason you're lighting shuls are sumei bisa. And the lighting in any major gathering.
You're talking about Chabad now.
It's not Chabad. I know that I went to Simchas in Eretz Yisrael during Chanukah.
Public Simchas.
And they would light
with the bracha?
No.
Was the bracha off?
No, okay.
That's not a kasha. So you can light it. That's
no,
the light of the menorah is big deal.
They make a bracha. I can find out. The one phone call way to
it's not so simple. It's a very, it's a tremendous Chiddush Chabad to make public Chanukah lighting ceremonies in public and make a bracha. It's a tremendous Chiddush. The Lubavitch Rebbe is a goyim Shebe goyim, and God forbid for me to say anything, but other gedolim, they don't. It's mitzvahs ner ish ubeisay v'zehu. A shul, that's a simon in Shulchan Aruch. It's a nimah Yisrael to light in the base hakinesis, to light with the bracha, because you make a bracha on a nimah to light in a public, a town square, to invite politicians at a concert or at some type of big event where people come with a bracha. What does it say in Shulchan Aruch? It's not Merusha Beisai, it's not a Beis HaKnesses, it's not a Minuk, so what's going on? Pirsumi Nisa? Alright. Yeshal mi lismech ha-goin, ha-godol ve-ha-dogul, v'lubavitcher Rebbe Yizeche Tzadik v'kosh v'vrocha, ha-chasha. But other Gedolei Yisrael, this is not our Messiah. This is not our, many people, the Messiah is that you're living in Golos. Just the fact that you're living in Golos, you light it home on your table, don't even put it in the window. The Tanker Rebbe certainly would not want you to light a menorah in a public place. It's a different generation, a different approach, different mentality. A whole different world. High luchud v'hayluchud. Okay, let's go by. Okay, so the question, where then does the minah come from? There is a sinner in Shulchan Aruch, there's also in the Beis HaKnesses, make a bracha. It's a minah Yisrael. It's a minah Yisrael in the Beis HaKnesses. So the Lazer said a very powerful Yisrael. It comes from the Orchen and the people that mamish live in the shul. Excellent, absolutely, Taka says that. But look put Chazim Amadivar. Today there are no Orchen in the Beis HaKnesses, and they're still doing it. B'li Yoytzei Min HaKlal. And the other example of Kiddush, which is because of that reason, has gone out the window. Even Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zechat Tzadik Livracha, says that if you make a new shul, you should not. It's shocking what he says, Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe said that if you make a new shul today, don't make Kiddush. Don't make Havdalah as part of the you can make Havdalah, you can make Havdalah, but don't make Kiddush and Havdalah as part of the Nusach HaTfilah. An old shul, don't stop. Keep it going. But you make a new shul, he writes this. Shocking, you think that Rav Moshe would be even more traditional, Shulchan Aruch. He says no. They don't make Kiddush Friday night? No shul?
No shul.
Not even one shul? Can't, there's gotta be some shuls.
Where?
In Eretz Yisrael.
Lakewood
or where? At Heshen.
Why
isn't part of the Nusach HaTfilah to light near Shabbos?
Why don't?
You know, it could be they did. Because when you light, needed light. They needed light in the Beis HaKnesses. Correct? They needed light when they davened. So maybe the neiros that they lit, so the Beis HaKnesses, that they did make a bracha for Halal Yom Yashar Shabbos. Maybe they did.
You need a rebbe.
Maybe.
We don't
do it now. I don't know the answer. I don't know. Why don't we have any record that there should be an inyan that before davening begins, you should say Halal Yom Yashar Shabbos?
For the Archon.
There's no record in Shulchan Aruch anywhere Halal Yom Yashar Shabbos.
It's
a good question. What?
No,
so you come over. Chanukah also kills the Yechlad before this man. Chanukah kills the Yechlad before this man. The same thing. Why? If that's halacha, that's halacha. I hear. It's a great question.
It might be different because it's the same thing.
Okay, we'll come back. Yeah, but it's still
that's
a minhag. Okay, so we're saying this 100% true, but before we even get to this, we're saying this more basic. This is given by many Mepharshim. I'm going to say. Nayer. We're coming out, so one of the things that to me at least very much appeals to me an answer, which ties in exactly to how we started today's shiur, is historically speaking, no one ever lit outside. Few and far in between. The Chiddush says in Eretz Yisrael, they do not light, in Yerushalayim, they do not light outside. He's telling you a record, he traveled the whole world. They do not. Today became a new thing. And he writes over here, really? Is Chazal wanted you to go buy a glass case also? There's a whole Shulchan Aruch of the Nair, this Nair, that. That's part of the Shulchan to buy a glass, because otherwise it's going to blow out. And Ruach HaMitzvah is going to blow out. It's the winter time, Chanukah. Who did he write the Halacha for? It's very, the question is better than the answer. But The way it is explained, that, and I remember this from before, but it ties into this, that is, lighting bachutz, we today generally, on a whole, light inside. We are thus missing out of ner halakas ner chayim. The ner, the mokum is mi bachutz. Okay, the place is Tanur Rabbanan. Where you light the Chanukah candle is Pesach Beis mi bachutz. We can't do that bachutz. We explain why. We explain many reasons why we don't do bachutz. We really make an attempt because either it's the winter, or because it's going to get stolen, or because of anti-Semitism. Or the most real reason is, what it really resonates with me is because there's no one that I really appreciate seeing anyway. Who are you being mefarsing the nace? To whom? Who are you being mefarsing the nace? To the Mexicans? To the Pakistanians? Who? To non-religious Jews? They don't really care. Who are you being mefarsing the nace to? Who?
How about your house?
So then do it in your house, yeah. So do it in your house. Exactly. Do it in your house. Who are you? So yeah, we don't do it today. There's never been an attempt for the last 2,000 years to do it outside. It's winter. It's going to get stolen. Anti-Semitism. And there's no one to be mefarsim into. That's a halacha, by the way. If you come home in the middle of the night at 11 o'clock at night, 12 o'clock at night, and there's no one home to see your neiros, you can't make a bracha. That's the halacha. If you light the neiros bizman, you can light the neiros in a desert island. But once the zman of halakas neiros passes, and there's no one walking in the street, and there's no one home to watch you light the neir chanukah, you can't make a bracha. If a person comes home 2 o'clock at night, and there's no one, there's mamish, no one on the street. You ever drive home from a wedding on the Garden State Parkway at 1 o'clock at night? There's no one there. Garden State Parkway, there's not a soul on the Garden State Parkway at 1 o'clock. I'm telling you, I've done this many times.
What's only the other people coming off the wedding?
What?
The other people coming off the
No, I'm coming off from the wedding. Drive home from Lakewood 1 o'clock at night on the Garden State Parkway, there is not a soul. Not one car. You can go 20 miles, not see one car. It's almost scary. 1 o'clock. There's no one on the street. So you're talking not a lot of light because there's no person in Nisa. Guess what? In America, you can have 1,000 people walking down the light in Times Square. There's no one there. You can go Times Square, Bizman, Bizman HaLokas Neiros, and light Hanukkah candles, and you can have 1 million people walking by. It's evil. There's no one there because they couldn't care less. They don't see it, they don't want to 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 know from it, and the only thing they'll do is they'll mock it. And they'll say, this is carbon emissions. That's all they'll say about it. They'll say, this year, I saw the advertisement, this year, be good to the environment. Light one less candle than you ordinary light. As a gift to the environment. Like Beishamai. Net zero. Okay, they don't care. There's no one to light for. There's no person in Nisa. Who are you lighting for? Who's interested in seeing it? There's never an attempt.
On the flip side, Lamaisa, Chabad,
I told you a disclaimer. I told you a disclaimer.
Forget my point is that there are people who do come to see it.
I told you as a disclaimer, that Chabad thoroughly disagrees with this principle. And maybe you're right. Maybe their time has come. You're right. Maybe we should think by them today. You're right. But from a tradition of the last 2,000 years, America is a little bit different. But you're saying good. This was the koyach of the Rebbe, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha, who held that America is different and the time has come and you have to have a different attitude. You have to have a different Chabad. I really love Chabad. It's a different approach, and maybe Taka, the time has come. But traditionally, even Chabad did not behave like this. We live in a dangerous world. Who is the Pursuma Nisa for? There was never an attempt. He writes in the Talmud of Baal Shem Tov. Now, but what do you mean? You can be Mavata Le Mitzvah Pursuma Nisa. So you know what? Do it in a place where everyone really appreciates it. The Mibachutz has been has been positioned in the Beis HaKnesses. The time of the minhag of why we're makbir to light Neiros Chanukah in the Beis HaKnesses as a minhag Yisrael, even with the bracha, is to be mekayim Pesach Beisoy, one word, mibachutz. When you light in your home, the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, where do you light? What's the mitzvah in Neir Chanukah? You light in Neir Chanukah mipesach beisoy mibachutz. So, Pesach beisoy I can do. I light pursum and iser, Neir Ishu beisoy. But mibachutz? I can't do that for all the reasons we explained. So, but it says in the Gemara mibachutz. I need people to appreciate what I'm doing. Okay. We're going to do it in the Beis HaKnesses. The Beis HaKnesses is the hashlama to your mitzvah. It's not, okay, I've done my mitzvah. I'm done. The lighting in shul, leave me alone. I'm not an injury. No, you have not fulfilled your mitzvah of Pesach Beis Mibachutz until you go to shul and someone there makes a bracha and everyone looks. Ah, Haneris Halalu. Haneris Halalu Kodeshem. Ma'usu Yeshua Si. You're missing your personal mitzvah. Many of us have an attitude. Listen, I did my mitzvah. I live at home. My children, my wife, my children, my grandchildren, I did it. I did the mitzvah in Shamayim. I get full credit. I put it by the window. I did better. I bought a glass case. I put it outside for the whole world to see. I did. The lighting in shul, leave me alone. I don't have time for this. I come late. I come early. Whatever it is, I down in Maariv and in shul. I don't even notice it in this mirror. They want to you know, get some donations to the shul, so they make a little ceremony. They light the Hanukkah candles and the hulu hulu. It's nice. It's lebedik Hanukkah mitzvah in Shamayim. Am I ledger? I did it wrong. You lit ner Hanukkah Pesach Beisoy. You mekayim half the mitzvah, but Chazal mesachim be mefarsim the nes to the whole world, to those who appreciate it. Well, I can't do it. Oynis Rachmana Patre. Oynis Rachmana Patre. No, you're not an Oynis, you can do it. Because there are people who appreciate this that you know. Where are you going to find them? Where am I going to find them? I'm going to find them in shul. That's where I'm going to find them. So when you're lighting the Ner Chanukah in shul, this is not, a Nayadin, a new mitzvah. This is the Hashlama. The hashlama of your obligation of mibachutz. The mitzvah is ner ish ubeisoy. Where do you light it? Pesach beisoy mibachutz. I did it Pesach beisoy. But I was not mekayem mibachutz. I personally, I go to shul and they light it in Beis HaKnesses and I answer amen to the bracha and I sing along Mo Sur Yeshua Si. And I say Haneris Halalu with everyone together. Oh, now I personally have fulfilled my personal obligation of Mibachutz. The Beis HaKnesses today is the Mibachutz. That's the Mibachutz. The gas, Times Square, this is a Midbar. You'll tell me there are a million people? I don't see any people.
Did you exit from the shul?
No, you can't. No. You can't be yotz in the shul, but you need the shul for the mibachutz. The chutz is the hashama. That's the minhag. The minhag, it's not just the minhag. It becomes almost like an ikar hadin. The harai, you make a bracha. You're making a bracha. It's not a pashto thing to make a bracha on a minhag. We don't make brachas on many minhagim. This minhag is in a class by itself. Okay, so now, this is one yisoy. Now listen, we're running very quickly. We only have exactly 10 minutes. What time is Shnuchah today? 12:14.
11:18.
12:13. Okay, by the way, today and tomorrow will be the last time we'll ever have a minhag, right?
Next week
we're going to end the shiur approximately at 12 o'clock, and you're on your own. Okay, next week it's getting too late.
Next week,
it's not good. Next week, tomorrow, today, tomorrow, Adkan. No, far and past. Adkan. Today, tomorrow, that's it. Okay, now. Let's go to another avenue. This is very big. This new stuff, Nefesh Tzora, is unbelievable stuff. Another volume over here. Where is the ideal location to position the menorah in height? Height in the Beis HaKnesses. So if you look at all the Sfarim, it would appear that the ideal location is to put the menorah below 10 tzach. That's very low. It's very, but 10 tzachim is like almost the height of a chair. When you sit down, on a chair, the average chair, the place where you sit, is about 10 tzachim off the ground. Okay? Test. When you sit on the ground, the average chair, there's an industry standard. What is the height of a chair? If you want to make a chair, sell it on Amazon, you better follow the industry standard of what is the height of the industry standard of when you sit down, you know, what size should the chair be? You know, you can get a chair up and down, but a stop, a chair, what is the industry standard? A regular chair is about 10 tefachim. So there's a whole dilemma. Does that mean that that's where the menorah should start, in a very tall menorah, or is that where you have little candles, the candles should be below? May Ikarad, no one's makbid on this, and somehow you don't have to be makbid on this, you should not be makbid on this, you should. It's a lot of confusion in halacha. What is the ideal height of the menorah? And many of the poskim seem to say, I think it's Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says the ideal height is under 10 tefachim, and the Hasidim say exactly 7 tefachim.
Above three.
Lower than three is the ground. You don't put it on the ground, mamish. And higher than 10 tefachim is, I don't even know why not. It's too high. Ideal height, according to the Hasidic Svarim, 7 tefachim. You want to talk Kabbalah, the Shekhinah never went below 10 tefachim. The Shekhinah rested on the Oroim. The Oroim was exactly 10 tefachim, 9 plus the Kapayres, 10 tefachim. Wow. Hanukkah, Hashem came down even lower. Eidos, what is the menorah? The menorah is Eidos, testimony. Shehashchina Shoyde B'Yisrael. In the time of the Hashmonayim, the Ribbono Shel Olam went where he never went before. He came down to save us, even below 10 tefachim.
What was the height of the menorah in the
Beis HaMikdash? Oh, excellent. 18 tefachim. Excellent. So in Shulchan Aruch it says that the ideal location to position your menorah is below 10 tefachim. And as I said, that what does that mean exactly? Does that mean that the candles have to be below 10 tefachim? Or does that mean that the base of your chanukiah, your menorah, should be below, and then you have a big menorah and go all the way up? There's a lot of dilemmas, a lot of questions. Halacha l'maisa, we're not mocking on this. We're not mocking. 95% of the population haven't heard of this, and they're not mocking on this for many reasons, because not everyone agrees that this is required, and also sakana, safety. Don't play around with safety when it comes to Hanukkah candles. We're not good on this. Why? I don't know why, but we're not. That's Rebbe. Somebody, you see some of these pictures of the Rebbe's. What?
But it can't be over.
That's the question. What does it mean? Below, over? It's a very halacha. I don't know why, but Pukhazi, 98% of the population never heard of it, is not good on it, and forget about it. You'll see some pictures. Maybe that's Takawai. Very good. Maybe that's Takawai. Okay, wait, we're going to talk about it. So the question is why? We're not macarons. Okay, fine. But that's what it says. If you'll see some pictures of Rebbe's, 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 they live nurse, you'll take a see. You'll see, because there's a big zach to go to a Rebbe to see live nurse. You'll take a see. Some of the Rebbe's, okay. They live very, very low below 10 tefachim. What about in the Beis HaKnesses? You've never seen in any Beis HaKnesses, Billy Yitzim and Akal, for them to light the Chanukah, even the Rebbes themselves, who light below 10 tefachim, on a very low stool, in their shuls, in their shtibluch, they light high. Why? Let me tell you the yisoid, and we'll work backwards. The lighting in the Beis HaKnesses is not like the lighting in the home. The lighting in the home is pure pirsumei niso l'shem Chanukah v'zehu. The lighting in the Beis HaKnesses, part of the minig is, it is a pure dugma for the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, And in Beis HaMikdash, the height of the menorah was 18 tefachim. And in fact, in some of these kehilos, they would definitely make a measurement. They put the menorah at exactly in height, 18 tefachim, kineged, the height of the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. That was exactly from the ground to its height, 18 tefachim. Now, does that mean it starts 18 tefachim? I don't know all this. I don't know exactly how all this works. You start, you finish, but the main rule is the rule of lower than 10 tefachim does not apply in the Beis HaKnesses for one reason. The Beis HaKnesses is a mikdash ma'at, and everything we do about the lighting of the candles in the Beis HaKnesses is patterned after the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash as much as possible. Therefore, 10 tefachim out the window. Beis HaKnesses, the only rule of height is 18 tefachim. How do you want to interpret that?
Isn't that 6 feet?
No. Yeah. It's
over
tall.
Five.
Right. So how are you going to interpret that? How is that practical? That's another topic. Usually
high.
Not.
18 tefachim is pretty high.
Yes.
Because
right.
20 tefachim would be like,
you need
40,
steps. There were 3
inches.
Steps. You needed 3 steps. Right. So therefore,
yeah.
It, whatever it is, but we don't. The point I'm just trying to make is the rule of lower than 10 tefachim does not apply in the Beis HaKnesses. Because the lighting in the Beis HaKnesses is a mikdash ma'at, it's patterned after the Beis HaMikdash. Next, another proof, where do you light at home? You light wherever you want to light. Wherever your Pesach is, if your Pesach is on the east, so light it in the east. If the Pesach Pesach is on the west, wherever the windows are, Shasak or put on the table. There's no Hakpada, north, west, south, east. You light it wherever it's found. In the Beis HaKnesses, it's a Hakpada. You light along the southern wall, the south side of the shul. Why? Why? Because in the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan, where was the menorah? Along the Kosel Doroim. On the north was the Shulchan, and on the south was the menorah. That's when every shul, where's the menorah? It's going to be on the right side, assuming that the Aron is in the Mizrach. Can't assume that anymore.
No.
Assuming it's in the Mizrach, it is going to be on the right side. So it's on this side. Initially, you go, and it's always on the right side because the right side is the Kosel Doroim, the southern side. Now, in the Beis HaMikdash. Right, if this is where the Aron is, now here's the question, should it be near the Aron? Now here's another question. In the Beis HaMikdash, when they arrange the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, make believe for a moment that the Peloiches of this Aron HaKodesh is the Kodesh HaKodesh. What's the Kosel Doroim? If this is west, right? This is west. Make believe that this Peloiches is the Kosel of the Kodesh HaKodesh. So this is west. Make believe that this is west. Kodesh, you go into the Kodesh HaKadosh. So what's north? North is right. And left, that side where Jason is sitting, is south. So where would the menorah be? It would be on the south. Now, when they arrange the menorah, do they arrange the menorah from south to north, north-south, or do they arrange the menorah from east to west? Was the menorah going this way in the Beis HaMikdash? Or was the menorah going this way? It's machlokes. Machlokes to Rambam and Raya. Rambam says it went from north to south. So it was where Jason is sitting, but the Nehruis were going this way. According to the Raya, and according to Rashi, it went east to west, this way. So now, when you're doing a parallel to what they did in the Beis HaMikdash, so we're going to put it on the southern wall, because that's where it was in the Beis HaMikdash. Are we going to go meet Sofayim Ledoroyim, like the Rambam? Or are we going to go meet Mizrach Lemayrav? Mizrach Lemayrav. So this is every shul does what they want to go do. The Chassam Sofer, the famous Chassam Sofer, the Brewer quotes the Chassam Sofer. And even though a lot of these, again, we don't pass like the Rambam, it's bizarre, for some reason, in this, pass like the Rambam, he says the minhag ha'olam is mimizrach l'maariv. Now, today you look around in the shuls, it's a big big Wild West. Is it the Wild West because people don't know the halacha, or because ignorance, or it's not practical, or because...
I
told you I gotta be finished by Mincha, but the two is Mimizruch Lamayrav. Okay, now, if you do Mimizruch Lamayrav, which way should you face? So, which direction should you face? Should you, when you light the candles in the shul, should you stand with your back, your back to the wall, or should you stand facing in the middle of the shul, facing? Well, in the Beis HaMikdash, look at the dilemma now. If you were to parallel the Beis HaMikdash Manish, you would stand in the middle of the shul, facing the wall. Because when the Kohen, there were steps, a malah, the Kohen would stand on the steps, the Kohen would face Doroim. And then, when you light the candles, which candle will be lit? The one that's closer, further away from the Aron HaKodesh, when it's far away. But we don't do that. That's when we don't follow the Beis HaMikdash. We light, not like the Beis HaMikdash, with your... Well, it depends. Everyone does whatever they want to do. Depends what you do. But has some soifer held that you should light with your back facing the wall.
So you're facing the people.
And you're facing the people. Right. Oh, but if you want to follow in the Beis HaMikdash, it was the other direction. In the Beis HaMikdash, it was Kohen Doroim, and the Kohen stood in the center facing the wall. There was no one there anyway.
No people, right?
But what is the goal? Is the goal the Persume Nisa? Or is the goal to follow the Beis HaMikdash? Is another element, which is none of the above. And that is, you want, I never heard this before, but he cites, a lot of people will say this, it's a pelvic thing. Rabbi said, please.
Okay.
You want the Ner to be closest as possible to the Aron HaKodesh. That is a desired goal that is cited in many places. There is an Inyan, you want that Ner. The first night of the Menorah, 8 candles. So what are you going to light? If you're going to be facing this way, the Ner you're lighting is far away from the Aron. The Ner of the Menorah is Torah. The Aron HaKodesh is Torah. You want the Ner to be close to the Torah. The Melech, you should stand with your back. The Chassam doesn't say this. You should stand with your, because the Kashim, the Chassam says it. The Kodesh Chassam says it. You're going to be facing Mikdash. You should be in the center, facing God. You stand with your back to the wall. You light the Ner on the right to the left. Ad kidei kach. The place can say, this is a chiddush, Baruch. Don't light the menorah. If you make a shul, so put the menorah in the center, right on this table, and your light facing the Olam. No! You should put the menorah right near the Aron HaKodesh. Some shuls put it in the center. Ceremony, everyone sees the light there. And some put it mamish right near the Aron HaKodesh. A lot of us say, better, but some do some put it near the Aron HaKodesh because the menorah is Torah and it belongs near the Torah. And the Mela, when you light, the Ner that you light should be near the Torah. And the Mela forces you to do not like the Beis HaMikdash and put your back to the Doron and face the front. Not because you're addressing the Olam, but because the goal is Torah. And some say, no. So he makes a pshara and he says, this is what he says to the Beis HaMikdash. If you have a shul and you're lighting the menorah is in the middle of the shul, then you should stand with your back to the tzibur and face Tzofan. Because anyway, it's not near the Aron HaKodesh. But if you're lighting the menorah, mamash Aron HaKodesh, then you should face this way so the menorah will be close to the Aron HaKodesh. Okay, let's talk about it.
Oh, my.